As you know, or if you're just joining us, we've been looking at the essential teachings of Jesus. And today we jumped into this thing where Jesus is talking about vines and branches. And I'm wondering, when you hear the word vines, what jumps into your head? I'm wondering if it's something like that, where, you know, we are in California, we're close to wine country. You might think to yourself, grapevines and grape arbors and that kind of stuff. And that's perfectly fine. But me being a Midwesterner, I don't think about grapes and grapevines. I think about the vines that are probably still growing in the backyard of the house we used to own. And I'll actually try to, here we go. And it's hard to see, but I had two areas where I had vines, and I've done battle with both of them, and I've lost the battle every time. In one corner of the backyard, in that lower corner, is a fence, and that's the neighbor's garage there, and that's my little shed, which I called the chicken coop. But next to it on the side there, besides the furniture, was this vine that would grow on the fence that somebody must have planted years ago. It was a clematis vine. And once a year, it would bloom with little tiny flowers, and it was beautiful, and it was great, and it smelled good. But after that, it would just drop all sorts of junk on the concrete. I don't know even how it happened, but there was dirt and muck and leaves and detritus, and I was constantly having to sweep or blow the patio off, and it would grow across the whole side of the fence when it was, by the time it was fall, and then it would die in the winter, and it would just dry up and be nasty, and I'd try to pull it off, and it was all tangled in, and I got so tired of it one year that in the fall, I actually tried to get rid of the vine. I cut it way back. I tried to dig it out, and in the spring, it came back. Now, the other one, which is semi-blocked by evergreen trees up in the corner, was an English ivy that someone had planted, and it was growing on the side of the house. And now every year I had to try to pull it down because ivy had like these, I don't know what they were, but they were like octopus suckers that would stick to the side of the house, and it would just keep growing and growing and growing. Matter of fact, it even once poked through the door, underneath the door where the weather stripping is, and was growing into the house at one point. And every time I'd pull it down, it would rip paint off with it too. And I tried to whack that thing back so it wouldn't grow back, and I guess it did anyways. And the thing is that when I think of vines, I don't think of grapes. I think of things like this, that are persistent and hardy and not easily removed. And to be honest, these two things was a constant battle in my life. Yet Jesus uses this imagery of vines to remind us of something really important. We are connected to God. Which only reminds me that if Jesus uses language like vine and branches, I guess He is persistent and hardy too. So, when we think about being connected to Jesus, it might be one of those intellectual things. Well, yeah, of course we're connected to Jesus, but it's not just a connection when we're here on Sunday morning, or that we're having a quiet time and we have this moment of inspiration, or we see a beautiful sunset, or we hear beautiful music that gives us, you know, goosebumps or something like that. That's not the only times that we are connected to God. See, the deal is, when Jesus says this, what he's also saying is he never lets go. Even when we let go of him and go our own way, God is that good that he never lets go of us. And what came to mind was this. When I think about all the children that have been baptized here at Bethel over the years, and even other churches that I've served, many of these children have fallen away, or they got baptized and we saw them for a little bit and then we never saw them again, or it was a one-time thing because it was important to the parents to have the baptism. that even though they have fallen away from church, even though that they're probably not doing anything spiritual, and they have totally let go of God, Jesus hasn't let go of them. He is still holding on to them, even as adults, because he promised that on the day of their baptism, the day of our baptism, that God will never let go, even when we do. The water on their head may be dry, but the claim on them is forever, and the claim on us is also forever. So it reminds me that even when we are struggling, it feels like we're alone and God's a million miles away, you need to know Jesus is holding on. And it's easy to lose focus on that because when times are tough, we focus in on the problem, the thing we're worried about, the thing we're concerned about. And the more we focus in on it, the bigger it becomes. And it crowds out everything else, and God can look pretty small at times. So we need to remember this, is that whether you feel God's presence or not in any given moment, it has nothing to do with the reality that God is holding on to us every single moment. Now, Jesus uses really strong language to emphasize this. He says, "I am the vine, and we are the branches." Jesus isn't just holding on, we are connected like a vine is to a branch of a plant. Now, this story, as you know, most of you know, was told by one of his disciples by the name of John. And unlike any other story told about Jesus, Matthew, Mark, or Luke, John, who put this together, wanted to make sure that everybody who read this story about Jesus knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus is God. Now, we get to that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but here he wants to make sure that nobody misses it, reading it all the way through. He didn't want anybody to mistake Jesus as this amazing rabbi or this teacher who is giving a new perspective on God. He didn't want anybody to confuse Jesus with just being another teacher. What John wanted everybody to know was that Jesus is God, who became one of us. And every time we hear Jesus speak, especially when we're reading the Gospel of John, John wants us all to know that we are hearing directly from God himself. And we actually see it very subtly in the words that Jesus spoke. He begins the sentence with, "I am." Now, if we're not versed in things, we might miss it, but these are the same two words that God spoke to Moses many years before this, when Moses was in front of the burning bush and God was telling Moses to go back to Egypt to rescue God's people from slavery. And Moses asked this question, "God, what is your name?" Now, it wasn't really like that. It was more snarky. Moses didn't want to go back to Egypt. He didn't want to rescue God's people. And he was trying to get out of it. And so finally, after two or three times of trying to get out of it, he finally says, "Well, suppose, God, I go to the elders of Israel there in Egypt under slavery, and they ask me what your name is. I don't even know your name. We haven't been formally introduced." So he's kind of snarky about this. And God answers him, "Tell them I am has sent me to you." So when Jesus says, "I am," we should think, oh, God is speaking in this moment and not just some guy. But not only that, but we are reminded in the sense that we are connected not just through his claim on us in baptism, which is good enough, but we are connected to him in his humanity as well. When we think about God becoming human, flesh and blood, he is now a part of the human family. Think about that. God is a part of the human family because of Jesus. He's one of us. So his connection to us is more than skin deep. We are united with the same blood coursing through our bodies. God as a living, breathing human. God is not only like us, but he understands us. He knows what life is like, and it can be tough sometimes. He knows what pain is like, but also that he is still God. Divine and perfect through and through. And so Jesus becomes the conduit between humanity and divinity. And he connects us in a way that no one else or nothing else could, because he's both human and divine. I'm thinking to myself that a number of years ago, I installed a bathroom fan, and looked almost just like that, and didn't have one, wanted one, and so I started getting this thing all set up. I cut a hole in the side of the house, and what I realized is that when the vent itself, that black thing up at the top of the fan, has a 3-inch diameter vent hole. Well, the vent on the outside that I was installing was 4 inches in diameter. And the only way that I could make those two fit is to buy a connector piece that was a 3-inch to a 4-inch connector. And when I think about that, I think about Jesus is that adapter piece right there. Without that adapter piece, nothing would have worked properly. Jesus is the one who connects us both to God and to each other in humanity. So it's this divine and human nature all together, and that Jesus is unique, and there's only one. Now, Jesus didn't use the, you know, you are the bathroom fan and I am the adapter piece in his parables. But that's what I was thinking about, believe it or not. Jesus says, no, I am the vine and you are the branches. We are connected. But he doesn't leave it there. He uses this moment to say, in this connection, I want to encourage you. I know you're always connected to me, but I also want to encourage you. And he uses these words. He says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. That could also be translated, continue in me, like an action, continuing to do something, or abide in me. Because he says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain a part of the vine. So neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And now he's addressing us. Think about this. He's not talking about those who are checking out the church. He's not talking to those who don't know who Jesus is. He's not talking to people who have never heard his name. This is a total insider message. He's addressing it to believers. And what he tells us to encourage us is, he says, continue to live in and with me. And here's why. Here's why this is important. Faith is a journey and not an event. And that's why Jesus says, remain or continue. Because if we treat faith like an event, like I was baptized, I was confirmed, I was once saved, like it was a past event, you will miss out on the joy of living life with God. And also you'll miss the fact that we are always connected to God. I mean, I don't want to live in the past. And I hope you don't either. So when Jesus says, abide in me, or remain in me, or continue with me, he's actually saying, if you still want to have a closeness with me that will allow you to face the worst of life and still remember that I'm always with you, and that even in the worst of it, I have something more for you at the end. He says, remain in me. And the other one might be more practical. If you believe that you want to help be a part of making the world a better place, then staying connected to Jesus, to God, will give you the strength and the power to help bring about change that is desperately needed in our world. You'll be a part of bringing God's kingdom into being right here. And the only way to be a part of that is to abide, to continue, to remain. So you can see why this is not just an event, but a journey. And we don't want to miss the journey. We don't want to face life alone and feel like we've been shut out. Now, Jesus hasn't gone anywhere, but here's the thing. The reality is that if we don't remain or continue, what happens is by our own neglect, we have shut Jesus out, even though he's there. That we've turned our back somehow, and that the ability to have an experience and know that his presence is there to comfort and guide us is hard to find when we've turned our back or neglected the relationship. I mean, it's really in those moments that we could say, it's me and not you, Jesus. So I don't want to, just me personally, I don't want to close the door on anything that will limit my joy, my confidence, my faith, in the knowledge that God is always walking with me. Now, many do. It's not a judgment at all. Many do and will eventually discover that something is missing in their life. And how do I know that? Because I've seen it time and time again when people come back into the church building. Or they go to other churches. And they say, something's just missing in my life. I need something, and I think I can find it here. And the answer is, yeah, you can. I mean, I would tell you that I am glad that I am connected to Christ. I am glad that I'm a part of this set of branches. This is an awesome set of branches right here. Come on, sway with me. We're branches. Come on, sway with me. There you go. We're connected. We're in this. Yep, you're Baptist now. Look at that. Kidding. And I know, I get it. Some of you are Bible scholars. And some of you are thinking right now, well, that's fine. You talked about all the positive stuff. And you skipped over the hard stuff. I'm not done yet. Verse 2, right? God the gardener cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll even be more fruitful. Snip, cut, snip, ouch. See, God isn't that good. It's very doom and gloom. But if you dig a little bit, if you do a little homework, what you might find will surprise us. When we look at when John wrote this in his native language, well, not his native, his second language, Greek, we find that the words might be translated differently. Instead of cut off, that could also be translated lifted up. God, the gardener, lifts up every branch that bears no fruit so it can receive more light, more rain, more encouragement to actually bear fruit. Now, this actually makes more sense because God wants his family to grow. He doesn't want to cut anybody out. Now, add to that the word prune, which also sounds very painful because that's what he's promising here, can also be translated clean. While every branch that does not bear fruit, he cleans, so that'll even be more fruitful. Now, that totally makes sense when you look at the next verse that says this. Jesus says, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. So this is completely different than that when you go back and you start looking at other possibilities for translating a word. So we are and will always be connected to God, and faith is how we foster that connection, and God wants to be a part of lifting us up and cleaning us off so that we may bear much fruit. So let us continue on this journey. And I guarantee you life will be more fruitful and satisfying. Amen.